CBSi and the World, I'm John Batchelor with Robert Zubrin. His book is The Case for Nukes, How We Can Beat Global Warming and Create a Free, Open, and Magnificent Future. We're addressing the United States and what is to be done about the ambition to grow more energy resources without undercutting the environment in some fashion. And we come to news. Westinghouse Electric, the U.S. nuclear technology giant, is developing a compact version of its flagship power plant, a move aimed at making its designs more competitive in markets that don't need large conventional reactors. This is a report from Bloomberg News most recently. Robert, this looks like a way forward. Has Westinghouse found the magic formula in Washington, not only to build here, but to export small reactors?
Okay, well, they have found a potentially useful formula. Now, by the way, you should know right now the people dominating the nuclear reactor export market is Russia. I believe they're soon going to be overtaken and pushed out of that by China, which has bought a few Russian nuclear reactors, have copied them, and they're ready to go. Okay, so China's all business. They may support Russia more than the United States, but they're in it for the money. And China's building 450 nuclear power plants domestically between now and the year 2050, and they're going to be exporting them everywhere. But the Westinghouse used to export nuclear power plants. So what they've come up with here is a design for a medium-sized nuclear power plant, 300 megawatts instead of the standard 1,000 or 1,200, which has been the custom recently. And the idea is to go for new cities in the developing world, cities of 100, 200,000 people that are forming as countries in Africa, industrialize. The people leave the villages, they go to the cities, and the cities initially are of medium size. And they're too small for a 1,000-megawatt reactor, but maybe a 300-megawatt reactor. And furthermore, the Westinghouse design is modular. It can even be go down to like 100-megawatt. And so they can address these smaller markets. And also, what they're going for is a factory construction of the modules. That is to turn, if you do anything in a factory, you can do it much quicker than you can at a construction site. You do a weld at a factory, studies show it takes 1/8 the time it typically does at a construction site because you're set up, you're ready to go. So if all the serious work can be done in factories and the stuff can be shipped out to the site by trucks or at most barges, and then you just assemble it there, the whole thing can happen much quicker. Everything is standardized. It's like building airplanes, okay? I mean, it's something of some complexity, but they build airplanes in factories. They don't build them at the airport. And this is how they propose to make nuclear power plants. So I think this could put them in a position to be competitive. It could put them in a position to deal better with the regulatory structure in the United States if they have a standardized product that can just be assembled and everything has already been approved. But once again, the Chinese have a proverb, where there is a will to convict, never, evidence is never lacking. If the regulators want to stop you, they can. So ultimately, this is a decision, okay, where there's a will, there's a way. Where there is not a will, there is not a way.
Let's go to outer space. Let's have some fun, Robert. Let's go to outer space. You've confirmed for me that curiosity and perseverance, the two spectacular rovers on the surface of Mars, both have nuclear energy power inside them. Is nuclear energy the genius that's going to get us a Mars colony and a moon colony? Are they thinking about that now?
Okay, space nuclear power is absolutely necessary to support the exploration and development of the solar system, especially if we're talking about Mars and the outer solar system, the asteroid belt. At Mars, solar energy is only 40% as strong as the Earth. When you get to Jupiter, it's about 4% as strong. Saturn, 1% as strong. And the solar energy isn't really competitive with nuclear, even at Earth. Solar energy is useful for satellites and so forth. It's basically a nice off-grid power system. But for powering powerful Mars rovers like Perseverance and Curiosity, and certainly for powering a Mars base, or let alone a Mars city, we're going to have nuclear power. Nuclear power is absolutely key to the human future in space.
Because you've evidenced that their nuclear power is possible for rocketry as well. Is that under development anywhere?
Not in a serious way. There have been certainly space nuclear power reactors, such as little ones on Perseverance and Curiosity. Right. And the Soviets used to use them a lot in orbiting radar satellites because the radar, the power of radar increases as the inversely with the fourth power, the distance. It really pays to fly a radar satellite low. But if you try to fly low, the solar panels would have too much drag in the atmosphere, so you can't do it. So space nuclear power has military uses as well. But in terms of space nuclear propulsion, there are studies. There's a small amount of R&D work going on at some NASA centers. And NASA also has an R&D program to address space nuclear power. And once again, space nuclear propulsion is potentially useful. Space nuclear power on the surface of these other planets is essential.
Fusion power. We've bypassed it momentarily because it's still under development. Is it credible that we're going to achieve fusion power in the foreseeable future, Robert?
Yes. And this is because there's a new crowd that are attacking the problem. We had a lot of progress in the fusion program in the 60s and 70s. In the 80s, all progress was stopped because the progress was being driven by national competition between the Americans, Soviets, Europeans, and Japanese, all trying to outdo each other. But in the 80s, all the bureaucrats got together and they said, let's just have one program so we don't have to compete to be a lot less stressed. And so all progress from the government basically stopped. And because they all got together on this one giant program called ITER, which they took 30 years just to figure out where to put it. But now, as a result of the success of SpaceX, their people have said maybe entrepreneurship is the way to go. So it's not Musk, who he's not into fusion, but people looked at his example and said, maybe the fundamental problem with fusion is the same problem with cheap space launch, which is that the wrong people are doing it. Maybe it's not technical, but institutional. So we got a whole bunch of fusion power startups all being funded, and they're looking at developing fusion on a 5-year timeline, not a 50-year timeline. And I discuss a lot of these startups in the book, The Case for Nukes. And I think we'll see one of them achieve ignition this decade.
Let's be rosy scenario, Robert, in our final minute. Right now, your case for nukes is extremely convincing. I see that China's listening. I see that Eurasia's listening. Germany stopped listening. The United States is hard of hearing. Is that going to change as we go into the facts of a sustainable future?
Well, you know, Winston Churchill once said that Americans will always do the right thing once they have exhausted all the alternatives. Okay, and we're getting to the point now where we've exhausted the alternatives. And the Biden administration policy of attempting to reduce carbon emissions by making fuel and electricity more expensive, because that's what the policy is. Okay, this is a reactionary policy. It targets the poor because they're the ones who are most impacted by increases in fuel and electricity costs. And it costs jobs. It is wrecking our defense industrial base. And in the current world situation, which has become increasingly dangerous, we cannot afford to be a country without our own defense industrial base. We have to be able to build ships, which means we have to be able to make steel. And you can just go down it. We cannot afford this folly, this idea that we will strangle our own industry and buy everything from China. Is the destruction of America. And pretty soon, by the way, if we're not producing anything ourselves, they won't be willing to take our dollars. So we won't even be able to buy it from China.
The case for nukes.
Have got to be turned around. We're going to do the right thing. Okay. We will.
The case for nukes, how we can beat global warming and create a free, open, and magnificent future. Robert Zubrin is the author. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.